I'm new to Prairie. My name is Angela Westblank, and my father called last night to tell me that my great Aunt Mary had died of cancer. It was something we'd sort of expected to happen. She'd had breast cancer 15 years ago, and then it came back. But in any event, I'll always remember her as being the woman who caused me to hate pancakes. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, she kept serving my brother and I pancakes, and it was to the point we had about 15 pancakes at our plates, and we just said, no more. But she was also the only one of her three sisters who learned how to use email. And later in life, she would correspond and send nice, funny notes to me via email. So I have those two memories of her.
I just got back from 10 days in Canada, in Montreal, in Ottawa, in Quebec, and it was marvelous to be in a country that has consensus on so many social issues. And I almost defected, and then I thought of Prairie. And, okay, I'll come back.
Well, many of you had, I hope, the pleasure of meeting my friend Frances Teagle and Kathy Claycomb at Bethel Horizons 2 weeks ago. And I'm pleased to tell you that Frances did get back to England safe and sound last Monday. She spent a week with Kathy after they left, and they had many adventures that I haven't even had a chance to read all about yet. But she was very pleased to make everyone's acquaintance.
I had the joy on Friday night of being at the Briggs's, and you would not believe what kids can do with sparklers. And just the great joy and the exuberance was just, it lifted the soul. So I'll encourage any of you that even half thought about it to bid on that if they should be willing to do that again next year as the part of the service auction.
On the environmental front, Thursday morning I had the joy of attending a hearing for the bill on, what's it called?
It's on
climate change bill that's been written by Spencer Black. It's represented Spencer Black, or the assemblyman, and Mark Miller in the Senate. And they had a hearing in the State House Thursday morning. And it's a joy that this is happening. They had lots of support in the hearing.
Well, I want to add that I wasn't here last Sunday because Patty and I were visiting her son Jake in Ohio. And he had done a kind of a dumb thing of trying to punch a hole in a belt and punched a hole in his finger as well and cut his tendons. And we were there for when he was getting them sewed back together, and it was a successful operation. So we were glad to see him and his girlfriend, Jen.
Thank you. Now we would like to have Barb Park lead us in this round, and she'll help us introduce it.
Hi. This, I want to talk about, just a tad as the choir comes up, about, I went to a workshop at General Assembly run by one of the people from the UU Musicians Network, Kelly Walker, who did a program on making music as kind of a life commitment. And one of the things she talked about was having a good repertoire of songs that you know as an individual and as a congregation. She said when she first came to the congregation that she serves as music director about 18 years ago, they had a congregation at that time of a couple of hundred people. She said, I couldn't figure out, they couldn't sing. And so she went back and looked at what they had been singing over the past several years. And they had about five or six songs that they had sung repeatedly and knew well. And she said the rest were about 86 things that they had sung once. And they hadn't learned them. And because they didn't sing them well that one time, they never sang them again. So she worked to build up a body of music that the congregation knew and could sing. So in that spirit, we're going to learn a new song called Around, May Your Life Be As a Song. And what I'm going to do is we're going to have the choir sing it once in unison, and then I'm going to have you folks sing it a couple of times in unison, and then we'll break it into a round that the choir will help lead. So this is, and this is not so much a problem in our congregation because you guys sing really quite well.
What type of guys?
So in your program it says this is 1059. That's in this book. The whatever you call this, teal, I guess. The Singing the Journey, the extension one. Supplement.
Yeah.
unlike what it says in the program, Mike and Norma are going to do a reading. Yes.
That will be better. Yeah.
On the UUA website, there are a whole bunch of streaming videos, and we had planned today, with Mary Mullen's help and Al's help, to show a couple parts of clips from those videos. However, I went up on the UUA website yesterday and discovered that their server is overloaded. It cannot handle any streaming videos. So we're going to read a little from some of this. Norma goes first, I guess.
The Reverend Beth Miller, the director of the Unitarian Universalist Association's Ministry and Professional Leadership Staff Group, welcomed the congregation and said that the service of the living tradition was a time to recognize and honor ministers and credentialed religious educators at the master's level. Miller made it clear that this was to be a worship service. Quotes, "In a graduation, the focus is on individual achievement," she said. "In worship, the focus is on something larger." End of quotes. In years past, the ministers and religious educators being recognized in the service of the living tradition walked across the stage. Miller said that now the ministers and religious educators would be seated on the stage in the front of the hall and would simply stand when it was time to be recognized.
"We do indeed recognize these individuals, but there is a larger purpose," Miller continued. "And so it is that I ask you not to applaud or cheer individual accomplishments tonight. In past years, some ministers and religious educators were cheered as they were recognized in the service of the living tradition. I know that when your loved one's name is called, it is overwhelmingly tempting to clap and cheer, but I ask you to contain yourselves. So I'm going to suggest that we get it out of our system right at the beginning of the service," Miller said. She said she would lead the congregation in cheering after the ministers and religious educators being recognized had arrived.
The ministers and credentialed religious educators processed into the hall and up onto the stage as the congregation sang the traditional processional hymn, "Rank by Rank Again We Stand." Once they were all seated, Reverend Miller signaled the congregation, and the congregation responded with applause, whistles, and cheers in recognition of the achievement of the ministers and credentialed religious educators.
And now let us join in worship,
said Miller. "Spirit of life and hope, we turn our minds and hearts again towards thee."
Norman and I and Barb attend a general assembly. It is the General Assembly of the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations. It happens every year. And there were about 6,000 UUs there in Portland, Oregon, at the Oregon Convention Center, which is a huge building. It must be probably a quarter mile from one end of that building to the other, and you don't even need to get outside. It's sort of semicircular. And a lot of these events were scheduled so that you had to go from one end to the other. Enormous halls, almost big enough to seat 6,000 people.
There's a tiny coffee shop about every half mile that
Starbucks
always had a line of about 50 people waiting to buy very expensive coffee and extremely expensive snacks.
I see that Barbara is wearing her badge. Norma and I are wearing our badges as well. I'm going to speak for myself. I had a very mixed experience at General Assembly. We went. This was a quotation from the beginning of the service of the living tradition at which past ministers and new ministers are honored. I really have a problem with what Reverend Miller said when she began the worship service. Spirit of life and hope, we turn our minds and hearts again towards thee. I'm wondering where thee is as she's saying that. And we went to several events, workshops, at General Assembly. I tried to raise the issue there of being inclusive.
That is inclusive of humanists as well as of all the various kinds of theists.
I was told by one minister that if I didn't like it, I could leave. I was accused by another minister, this guy from Texas, of wanting to reduce everything to the lowest common denominator.
And in a different workshop, a different minister said, "We cannot vote you." There were more ministers there as a body, he thought, than of the general laity. Now, the laity was mainly Mike and I's age, well off enough to get there. There were various people in wheelchairs, sort of rolling themselves around. It was not a representative group. There were no younger people, no kids.
Very few, anyway.
Almost. Very few, maybe 2% minority.
You know, when we walked in there and I saw the assembled group, I thought I was at the wrong convention. I said, "This is the AARP. But it wasn't. It was the UUA. And as Norma says, these are people who've gotten to a certain point in life, and they can afford to travel all the way across the country, halfway across the country, stay in a hotel, pay the dues. Sometimes their congregations help. Mostly their congregations do not. And yet this goes on year after year, annually. And I wonder if in the 21st century there is not some more efficient way of conducting the association's business online.
Now, when the UU's website gets itself up again, you can go to it and you can see, I think they had the Service of the Living Tradition,
the whole thing, entirety.
Which actually made me feel slightly sick. Sorry to have to tell you that. They had two ministers who antiphonally gave a talk which was about 15 minutes long, which was entirely about how they were preparing draft after draft. It was so centered on themselves. It was so utterly narcissistic enough. That was my personal reaction. That was my reaction, and some of you, I'm sure, would have loved it. There was lots of color. There was lots of panoply. Oh, there was piety. Oh, yes.
And these guys used a sermon voice. I don't know if I can repeat this at all. This was Reverend Barbara and Reverend Bill Hamilton Holway. And Barbara Hamilton Holway began pretty much like this. "Dear people, all of you dedicated leaders of this movement, lay and professional, you who give your life, your money, blood, sweat, and tears."
Churchill.
Thank you, Winston Churchill. "Your heart, mind, and soul to living Unitarian Universalism, we honor you. We thank you." And I'm thinking, where am I? Am I at a convention? Is she giving a stage presentation? What's with this poetry voice, this sermon voice?
Give your quote to Bill Sinkford.
This is a very personal reaction, and some of you may not have the same reaction to this, but I've been a member of this group for 33 years, as you'll learn a little later when we have the birthday cake. This is a down-to-earth group here. And much of what I saw at GA on public occasions makes me feel that I'm not a member of this movement. I wish it were otherwise. There are parts of this, though, and let's get to this, I guess, that really made me feel glad to be a Unitarian Universalist. There was a session that included Daniel Ellsberg, Senator Mike Gravel, and a gentleman called Bob West, who was president of the UUA 30 years ago and was instrumental in having the Beacon Press, UUA's publishing organization, publish the Pentagon Papers.
It was a very well-attended session.
It was wonderful. This session was moderated by Amy Goodman, and I believe she later rebroadcast the whole thing on her radio show. But this is why I'm a UUA.
How many people were there?
Oh, 4,000, 5,000. It was absolutely packed.
And then there was another wonderful one with Robert Fulgen, the guy who wrote All I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Short. Absolutely no poetry voice. No crap at all. He reached out and he talked to people and with people. And his message was, Jesus wasn't in church or synagogue. He wasn't even a Christian. Laughter. He was just an ordinary guy of his time who wanted to be in the world and be of use. And then he told his own story of how he himself, he went to UUA minister school. And at that time, they weren't full of students who were deists. Apparently now there's only one possible agnostic or atheist out of the whole group. Yeah, I think the detritus from other religions are coming into UUism and filling us with all of this.
He began by saying that he had gone to Star King. This was 50-some years ago, which is the UU seminary in Berkeley. And he said, everything you've heard about it is true. It is weird. And he talked about the dean, Dr. Bennett, at that time, who would have the young Robert Fulgen, then in his early 20s, come into his office. And the dean would say, I'm glad you're here. Sit down. And Fulgen soon realized that he was going to learn something. He is such a funny man, such a wise man. He told stories, three stories, which I won't even try to repeat. We've got the CD here, and do borrow it. We'll leave it here. Listen to the whole thing. Play it in your car. This man is truly inspirational. And his message was, forget about religion. Get out there in the world and do the best you can.
He talked about putting himself through ministry school by working in a bar and meeting the alcoholics and the
hookers,
unmarried moms who were keeping life together by prostitution and just meeting all different kinds of people and just trying to be, as he said, useful. He was so unpretentious and so real, and he had feeling for other people, which I didn't get from the service. In fact, we went to this one service. I couldn't stand it. I didn't go to any of the others. They were empty. They were just a show. So, your
turn.
There
is this, as Reverend Miller said, there is. She drew a distinction between getting together and, quote, doing worship, which I don't get. I'm sorry.
Just one last show.
Oh, here she goes.
Everybody was given a bag. Now is the time, a campaign to grow our faith.
There we go.
Now, faith is a belief without evidence. It's a belief because somebody important told you and you believe them. That's not me. I will have nothing of it.
Well, Norma, when we got together to plan this, was afraid that I would have a different general impression. And I didn't. Going to GA is like going to a buffet. It's easy to overindulge. So when I went this time, because I wasn't a delegate and nobody was paying for me, I could do whatever I wanted. So I did a lot of music. I sang in two different choirs, which was interesting because I sang for the ministers have a couple of days before GA starts for everybody else. So I sang, and there's a group that sings that's ministers, and then they recruit some people from UUMN, the Unitarian Universalist Musicians Network. So I went early and sang for that. And Norma would not have liked that service. That and the Living Tradition one were the most theistic of the. So you hit the worst one, Norma. Interestingly enough, at the service for the Living Tradition, the choir sang, and it was this minister UUMN group that sang for that. And this Reverend Miller said a prayer with us before we started, which, if she'd have said, let's center ourselves, let's have a moment of quiet meditation, I wouldn't have minded at all. But I mean, this was a prayer to, you know, whoever. So I went into that service also a little bit upset. But anyway, I tried to limit what I went to because it's really easy to overindulge at GA. And so I decided I would pace myself this year. So I concentrated on three things. One was the humanism. The UU humanists ran three workshops. So I tried to get to those. And then I immersed myself in the music and brought back some wonderful pieces for our choir to sing. And then I went to some other things, one of which was the thing on the Pentagon Papers that Norma and Mike talked about, and then the Ware Lecture, which some of you heard the CD of at the retreat, which was fabulous. It was by Rashid Khalidi, who is a professor of Arab Studies at Columbia University. And he talked about the situation in the Middle East and his fear of the aggressive posture that the United States is taking towards Iran. So if you have a chance to view that CD, if you didn't at the retreat, it was absolutely superb. So there were these wonderful things. The three sessions that the UU humanists ran were, one was called Reason and Reverence, Religious Humanism Today, and that was by Bill Murray, not the actor, Reverend Bill Murray, who was the president of Meadville Lombard Theological School. And he has just written a book by that title that talks about naturalism and religious humanism. And Galen had presented to the UU humanists, our humanist group here, something on religious naturalism. And Murray is trying to sort of combine those things into one unit rather than having the UU humanists here and the UU naturalists over here, because they have essentially the same message. The second one was Cosmos in Life, The Greatest Story Ever Told, by Dr. Carolyn Proko, who is the imaging, who's the leader of the imaging team of the Cassini spacecraft presently orbiting Saturn. And she apparently gave a speech on this, talking about the prospect of discovering extraterrestrial organisms. So she covered that. That was fascinating. And the third thing was the Jewish perspective on the future of humanism. Now, the problem with all of these humanist things is they were all given in the same room, that they had requested, and there was some paranoia involved here from some of us, they had requested a room of 250 people, which would hold 250 people, which they really needed, because these were fabulous presentations. Well, unless you got there half an hour ahead of time, you didn't get in, because the room was actually rated to hold 195 people. Well, and then the convention center had only set up 120 chairs. And they were being, unlike other years where they've been in venues where, you know, you've crowded in, people have been sitting on the floor and in the doorway. Any of you who've been to GA know that scene. Well, they were very strict and did not allow anyone in the room who wasn't seated in a chair. And they came around and chased people out. So... Now, granted, there weren't a lot, even though this place was huge, there weren't a lot of really large rooms that would hold a lot of people. So, to the planning committee's credit, they honestly thought that they were at least going to get 195 people in these rooms. And when the convention center set it up, they didn't set it up that way. But the humanists were feeling very put upon, because half of them couldn't get into the room. And in fact, they made arrangements for Bill Murray to give his talk a second time at one of the hotels that it was a couple of blocks away. And there were another probably 50 people at that one, even though it was something that was stuck in. And one of the ministers from Chicago was walking around with those sandwich board advertisements around the hall, advertising the fact that they had moved this thing or were doing a repeat. And because there was, you know, otherwise they were afraid the word wouldn't get out. So even though the leaders who were trying to smooth things over, the people who were trying to get these sessions to these sessions were very paranoid. And I have to say, probably the top image that I have from General Assembly is from Cosmos in Life, The Greatest Story Ever Told. She presented photographs from the Cassini spacecraft imaging project, and things of, you know, you've seen these pictures, I'm sure, of the galaxies all lit up and the just wonderful things. Well, the last image she showed was of Saturn with Saturn's rings, and you know how there's that gap between the rings and the planet. In that gap, you look down and you see this pinpoint of light that's the Earth. Through the space in Saturn. I mean, it just blew me away. That one image was worth going to GA for. So as Norm and Mike said, there were things where you went, oh, you know. But there were also wonderful things. Something that I read before I went said that about at least 10 years ago, 76% of the UUA congregants were still classified themselves as humanists, and 20% of the clergy. And talked about, I was reading this article by Marilyn Westfall, who was talking about the rest being, what did she call, fuzzy theists, which I thought was interesting. Now, we're going to get together and sort of banter through some of this stuff and take questions from you. So, I'm going to come back. so we could take questions and we'll sort of all chip in.
What were the UUA resolutions, the business resolutions that related to like social justice and so forth this year, and what was that like?
I did not attend.
It's on.
I didn't get to that session. I did go to the plenary session where there was a lot of discussion about a statement on social responsibility, which there was a lot of procedural back and forth. There was probably about a third of the hall felt that the statement was too vague, too general, too fuzzy, too woolly, and yet it was pushed through. Not at all clear what its purpose was. And you got it there, Norma? Okay.
Take the mic.
Moral values for a pluralistic society. This was a statement of conscience. Quote. It is time for Unitarian Universalists to assert and defend a basic principle underlying the American Constitution, the right of all to follow a life of their own choosing, as long as others are not harmed. How might we discern, affirm, and live our moral values in our pluralistic society while limiting our temptation to arrogance in the correctness of our positions? Question. Going on, a core expression of moral values is found in faith traditions that include Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Islam. And it's not at all clear why we are saying this as a denomination and to whom and for what purpose. It was suggested that this is to guide the reaction of the UUA's Washington office in taking positions as the election season develops. I don't understand that. I don't see how the Washington office of the UUA gets to do anything unless the General Assembly and the congregations have specifically approved it. And I voted with the minority on this one not to adopt this document. We'll leave it here. See what you think about it. It is policy, official policy of the Association of Congregations. Now, I'm sorry it happened.
I was present at that discussion, too. It was muddled. The piece that was presented for approval, I think, was muddled. And I wasn't impressed. I wasn't impressed by the structure that we were trying to deal with it. I mean, it would have made sense to have sent this out way ahead of time so that everybody could read it. In fact, let's talk about, just for a moment, let's be real constructive and say, in the 21st century, why do we need 6,000 people to get together in an enormous factory lining up for sandwiches in order to, quote, pass resolutions? It doesn't make sense. We have the internet. We can put forth ideas on that, and everybody who has a computer, and there's a heck of a lot more people have a computer than have money to go to Portland for a week, and then they can discuss these various things. Why don't we, if we must get together physically, why don't we have regional meetings? The whole thing was so absolutely outdated, undemocratic. It was useless, I thought. Yes, there were some wonderful workshops, but the workshop that we went to with Robert Fulgham, again, well, actually, the cops weren't there because Mike and I sat on the floor the whole time, and we were sitting on the floor like this. There were hundreds of us. which just shows how many more humanists there are than those wretched, excuse me, ministers. You're one of us. That's okay. I mean, these self-important people with their, I'm a minister. God, save me.
No, you go first.
First of all, I wonder if that minister with the sandwich board was Brian Covell.
No, it was, Roger Bruin.
Oh, okay. Well,
I didn't think of his name first off, but it just popped in my head. Yeah. Who was the minister of the Beverly Church in Chicago for years.
Right.
And
right.
He's a good, solid humanist, bless his little heart.
Well, humanism and atheism, or specifically a lack of theism, is the reason I became a UU. About 5 years ago, I went to Unity Temple in Oak Park. And while I liked some of the things that were going on, there was theism. And so I rejected it. And then I found Third Unitarian Church. And I was attracted to it because I had heard that Brian Covell was a former minor league pitcher. which was very important to me. And then I found out that he was a socialist, which was even more important to me. And then I found out that he was an outright atheist, which was the most important thing to me. And when we decided to move to Madison, I thought, I'll never find a community like that again. But I think I found one here. So when I'm listening to this discussion, I'm very concerned that the overall movement is just UUA is going in the wrong direction, and I'm not sure if it's something that we should try and form a separation from, or if it's something we should try and form a coalition to combat. And I'm just curious what you think is the best route to take to defend our point of view in these times, because I think that this community, as large as it is, and I think it's getting larger internationally, specifically I mean the rational, skeptical community, is our best opportunity to navigate through these bizarre times.
At one point during the service of the living tradition, our UUA president, Reverend William Sinkford, recognized the ministers who had died over the past year. And he read their names, 19 of them. And he paused a minute and said, "Won't you pray with me? Spirit of life and love, dear God." And it passed through my mind, I'm sorry to say, is this man delusional? But it's, no, he's not. He's sincere. He's absolutely sincere. And if you read what Sinkford's experience, one of his sons almost died in a hospital, and he had this religious experience, which, from where I stand, is, for Bill Sinkford, that's valid. You know, I've got no problem with, you know, whatever he wants to believe as Bill Sinkford. But I do not accept that he stands up before 6,000 members of the denomination and starts addressing dear God and asking me to pray with him. So, we got together with, in several of the work sessions, with a real rebel by the name of Donald Blue. He's from California. He's a lawyer, I'm sorry to say, and he was a real troublemaker. He was trying to persuade, just as I was trying to persuade people, that it would be nice if the language on public occasions would be inclusive. Don was suggesting that this was, after all, an association of congregations, and there should be some structural change that would enable congregations the better to express their voices and not some better way of taking positions as a denomination, as an association of congregations, not just an assemblage of disparate individuals, I would hope.
We need to be aware of time, I think. Maybe a couple more questions.
Okay. I wanted to say something on that, too. Before General Assembly, Bob and I went to a local humanist group in Palo Alto, and we're made acquainted with a presentation that happened at the American Humanist Association Conference in Portland a week before the UUA one. A presentation by Marilyn Westphal called Humanism and UUism, the Good, the Bad, the Ugly. And one of the things that she said, she was quoting somebody who from a chat group on the internet. And this young man, who graduated from Meadville in 2004, said he was the lone atheist in his class at Meadville. And at the end, he said he was wondering if he would find that he was preparing for ministry to a faith which no longer existed, which was an interesting comment on his part.
I have so many reactions. I'm trying to decide which ones are important. Squeeze out
in the next 2 minutes.
I guess first I'm a little bit concerned about the lack of inclusivity that I'm getting from you guys just now, and I want to make sure that I express that Prairie tries to be an open-minded, open-hearted congregation, and there may be atheists among us, and that though we have a very strong humanist perspective in this congregation, I don't want us to be exclusive. And I think it's very important that we be purposeful about that, that there's a huge range of belief, and there might be people who wouldn't call themselves theists, but that doesn't mean they're not sure that there isn't a higher power or maybe some forces that are beyond human understanding or, you know, da-da-da-da, this whole range. And I think the difficulty that you're describing is on one end of the spectrum, but I don't want to be at the other end either.
I need to say that in the banner parade service, they did recognize who I can't remember who was leading that, but she recognized the whole diversity of the denomination, including humanism, but an atheist, but also, you know, everybody else. I mean, that was a very good, inclusive statement. I was delighted to hear that. The things that were the most theistic were the things that really were directed at the ministers, both this thing that I went to before the General Assembly started, and the Service of the Living Tradition, which really is directed at ministers and is full of pomp and pageant. I've always loved that service, and I was disappointed that they didn't, like, you know, they're proud of the people who've gone through this. And and then they list meaningful to me because I and I think was not quite as exclusive. I think that the ones that were directed at the ministry were more exclusive.
And then I guess just the two quick comments. One is, I think what we are seeing in the leadership from what you're describing is a disturbing trend. UUism is known for its diversity, its theological diversity. We want to keep it that way. So I do feel that this is troubling and something we need to address as a denomination. And I agree that there is definitely a structural problem that we're making our decisions by who can afford to get there. I mean, there's a lot of things we could be addressing there. And then the last thing I wanted to say is you made a comment about faith. And I personally use that word faith to describe my set of beliefs that are not based on fact, which have to do with being as I'm leaning in the my personal belief system is in the humanist direction. My faith has to do with a belief that we can indeed change the world for the better, that progress is possible. And there really isn't a lot of evidence for that. And I consider it faith that moves me to continue to dedicate my life to make the world a better place. So I use that word, and I think it's a legitimate word.
Do we need to stop here? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So sorry.
We have children who are going to be coming up. And are they here? Oh, they're ready. Sorry, but we do have other members of our family of Prairie members, and there are young children. And I had asked Rebecca if they would be able to come upstairs and join us in celebrating a birthday, and we're going to ask them to come, and here they are. Come on. Let's all stand and sing to us. Happy birthday to us. All right, now we have gathered. Let's just ask, who is present today who was here 40 years ago as a member of Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society? No, but there she is, Ruth Calden, one of the founding members. Ruth is here, 40 years. All right, how about 35 years? Here we go. Look at 35 years. 30 years. That would have been, there we are. Look at 30 years. Remember, that is incredible. 25 years. There, look at 25 years. 20. Do we have, see, 20 years. Look at that. How about 15 years? Look at 15 years. 10 years. Oh, wow. 10 years. 5 years. All right. 4 years. 3. There you go. 3 years. 2 years. Hey. And how about 1 year? There you go. All right.
Less than one.
And we have Indy, who is here. We are grateful for all of those people who have supported this congregation and who make it the diverse community that it is. It is diverse, but it is also united in that it is here to support one another in those journeys that we all are experiencing and traveling, and we can't really say where that journey is going to be ending. But we are, again, grateful. And let us thank the children for being part of us today. Thank you, children. And we have some music that we're going to end with, but are the children going to be able to come back for some birthday cake? We still have two items to finish in the service. So if they will stay and they'll be able to help us. We have, if the congregation can sit down, we need to have our offertory. Oh no. They'll stay. We're going to have our offertory and pass the baskets. Yeah. And come on. Yeah, come on. If you want to come and sit down here. Yeah, sit right here. And have the balloons. Come on up with those balloons. Can we pass these? We need to take our offertory and then... Thank you, Mike and Bob, for your... Now we have a chance to welcome those people who are visiting with us today. Would anyone who is visiting like to stand and introduce themselves? Say hello? Okay. Here, Patricia...
I'm Patricia Daria. I'm here with you. I'm going to stay for your congregational meeting, and I rushed out here from my own church, which is UUCW in Brookfield, where I had to make announcements this morning. So I coordinate our Unity Circles program, which is small group ministry, and I hadn't remembered. I was supposed to do it at both services. But anyway, so I did the first and ran here to be with you. So I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, Patricia. All right, let's move right along. We have announcements. They're printed in our order of service. Is there any other special announcement that needs to be made? Bob?
There's a table set up there for the solar tour. Pick up some literature afterwards. It's next Saturday. People come to see solar collectors.
Circle dinner groups have been organized. There was a great turnout. Over 90 people are participating in circle dinner groups. I've posted them on the bulletin board, and the conveners will be letting everybody know who exactly is in their group. I have three announcements. Number two, this coming Saturday, we're doing the breakfast at the men's drop-in shelter, and Jerry has the can. It might be better to keep it in one place rather than passing it. So Jerry has, you donated very generously last month, and we have like $20 left over after buying the groceries for that month. And if anybody can buy the groceries and help cook and serve the breakfast bright and early Saturday morning, talk to me. And the third announcement, Jerry, what's on that piece of paper I gave you?
We need volunteers for upcoming services that have degree visitors to watch coffee.
Oh, yes, please sign up. I haven't checked it lately, but it's an easy job. It just takes a little bit of time, and it helps us out a lot. So for fixing coffee, we provide training and doing greeting and cleaning up the washing the coffee cups. The sign-up is on the greeting table. It's on a clipboard.
I don't know if this is appropriate, but I'm going to do it anyways. My daughter's in a cooperative preschool, and we're selling Bucky books to raise money for her preschool. I have four. If anyone's interested, they're $35.
Wait for the cake. Wait for the cake.
All right. Our closing hymn, number 315.
Closing words are from the book by William Murray, Reason and Reference. Humanistic religious naturalism encourage individuals to recognize and use their own creativity and power and to develop their own unique abilities. It holds that individuals should respect themselves as persons of dignity and value, and it encourages them to fulfill their potential. It also acknowledges humankind's limitations, but aware of the progress humanity has made in the many millennium of existence, it continues to have hope for the future and to believe in the human potential for good.
Okay, all right. Have some cake. Let them eat cake. Thank you all for coming.